When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Dugout from Sports Mall. I'm Pascal Lemaire and Barney Corker is here again to give his view on the latest hot topics in the world of football. We start this week with the Premier League title race, with Leicester City now 5 points clear thanks to a massive 3-1 win at Man City. Barnes, they're bookies favourites for the first time this season. Can they actually go all the way?
I think they can, and I think they certainly deserve to be bookies favourites now after that victory over Man City. It was an incredible performance. They deserved the win as well, a way to arguably the toughest place in the Premier League to go to. I said last week that I think they deserve to be favourites, but there was still, you know, one lingering question mark over them was probably that weekend against Man City. If there is another one remaining after that, then it's probably this weekend coming against away to Arsenal. If they can get through that one, if they can get through those two games with 6 points from six, then you've got to put them as favourites for the title. They're 5 points clear with only 13 games remaining. I mean, it's understandable why there are question marks over them, because it's just been so unexpected, them going on this rise to the top of Premier League football. I think it would probably be the biggest shock in terms of title winners in history, even going back to the First Division. Maybe Brian Clough coming up with Nottingham Forest and winning the league in his first season after getting promoted is up there. But the money involved in football now and the gap between the top teams and the likes of Leicester, who last season were bottom until the closing weeks of the season, is so much bigger than it was in Brian Clough's day. So for me, this would probably be the biggest shock in the top division history for them to win the league, and I think they will go on and do it now. I think I had a bet with one of my friends just before Christmas that they'll finish in the top four, and he's already said he'll start paying out on that now, because it looks certain that Champions League football is going to be at King Power Stadium now, and now I've gone double or quits for them to win the title, so I'm certainly backing them now. I think they will do it. It's going to be interesting to see how they cope with the run-in. I think that's going to be, because none of their players have had experience of this, but then the same applies to Tottenham, the same applies to Arsenal. The only team in the title race really who do have experience of getting to the finish line at the moment is Man City, so it's going to be interesting to see how that develops over the closing stages of the season. But from everything I've seen from Leicester so far, I can't really see any signs of them feeling the pressure and blowing this one.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, they obviously started so well, and you'd probably say after maybe, I don't know, 15 games of the season that they might tail away, but they just keep going from strength to strength. You know, they've got the best form of anyone in the top four, and you'd have to say that surely now that they're used to this pressure, they're used to the spotlight, and they thrive on it. Like last weekend against City, just going back to that game, I mean, getting the early goal, that obviously did help them in their counter-attacking style from then on. You know, City were chasing the game from the third minute, I think it was, but even then they were so good. I thought Mahrez scored that fantastic goal, you know, the step over and then finish with his right foot. You know, we don't usually see him use his right foot all that much, but it was a great finish. And then even the goal that City scored was it was offside, wasn't it, Igor? That shouldn't have counted. So it should have been a 3-0 win at the Etihad, which was, you know, the best home record in the league. It was billed as, you know, best home record versus best away record. And you have to say that Leicester, they were so good in that game. Just looking at the table now, 53 points. It's a brilliant record from them. And then you've got the three teams behind: Spurs 48 points, Arsenal 48 points, and City 47. But as it stands, you'd have to say that, I mean, I'm not sure if they're still the favourites. I mean, it's still a long way to go for a team that... it's so hard to say, but I would still probably just say City, because they're only, I mean, 6 points. We've seen that gap clawed back, you know, many times down the years. But then again, you counter that with the fact that stats that, you know, top at the start of February tend to go on. I think it's the last 11 seasons maybe when, if you've been top at the start of February, you go on to win. So I think it's hard to counter it, but I'm still not quite there. I think City probably just still there, because it's just the Aguero factor. I think he's going to score goals and win games for them. But if either Leicester or Spurs does it and becomes like a new team to win the Premier League, it would be amazing, whichever does it. But if Leicester can do it, just be incredible.
It would be incredible. And you mentioned the Aguero factor for City there. I think the Vardy factor and the Mahrez factor for Leicester is just as big this season, because they've been in such good form. Mahrez, I think, for me, is the player of the year. It would take a huge effort from any other player in the division, apart from maybe Vardy, who's the other one in the running, over the last 13 games of the season to dethrone Mahrez as my player of the year. He's been excellent all season. And just looking at the fixtures coming up for Leicester after Arsenal this weekend, which is for me, their last big test of their title credentials, even though they've passed every single one so far with flying colours. After that, they've got Norwich, West Brom, Watford, Newcastle, Crystal Palace. You know, they're all teams who, Palace aren't in the best form, Watford are the only one of those in the top half, and they're not playing another one of the teams around them in the table after Arsenal until the end of April, when they've got Manchester United away from home. The last three games of the season could be crucial. They've got United, Everton and Chelsea going into there, but the upcoming run of fixtures after this weekend does look pretty kind for them, and it's certainly, I can see them keeping up this run of form. I can see them certainly staying top of the table, and they've got that 5-point cushion, which means any slip-ups, even at the end of the season, they've got a bit of a cushion to the teams below them in the table, so they can afford to lose a game here or there. They can afford to draw the odd game. The rest of the teams in the title race aren't going to take up maximum points in the last 13 games of the season. And I think Leicester are in a fantastic position to go and win the title. I think they will do it.
Yeah, and you can't forget, I mean, we've mentioned it many times before, but the fact that everyone else in that title race has either FA Cup and European games. They've all got European games still to play, and we know that depending on how far the travel is. I know City, they obviously go to Kiev just later this month, and that's a really tough trip for them. And Pellegrini's already complained about, he's got the Capital One Cup final, you know, the FA Cup games they've still got to go, Europa League, Champions League as well. It's going to be so busy for them, and all Leicester have got is the Premier League. And they get, I guess every time I think about that, then it strengthens Leicester's case even more, I think. And it's hard to imagine that anyone else, I mean, do you think it's just those four teams that can win it? United, 12 points they are behind Leicester United, and they're too far behind, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they are. But they have been improving in recent weeks. They've been better in attack. Van Gaal deserves a bit of credit for coming through all the hard times, all the criticism over his style, and improving them. And they won't have entirely given up on the top four yet. 6 points is the gap between Man City, and as you said, between Man City and Leicester, it's a gap that we've seen overhauled in recent seasons. So they wouldn't have given up on the top four yet, but for me, all that top four are in the title race. Manchester United are not, so I struggle to see them even climbing into top four. I think the title is beyond them. And we said at the start of the season with United that if Van Gaal doesn't finish probably third at the very least, then it would be a failure of a season for him, because they finished fourth last season. That was a rebuilding one, spent a lot of money, but they needed rebuilding after David Moyes obviously doomed reign there. Just to get back into Champions League was the big thing for Manchester United, but for them not to finish in the top four this season, them not to finish in the top three and challenge for the title with all the money Van Gaal spent, you know, I think that's a really poor season for them. I think I can't see them overhauling a 12-point gap to Leicester. The form Leicester are in, and there's, you know, Tottenham, Arsenal, Man City have looked so much better than United all season. Inconsistent, perhaps, but United have been inconsistent as well. So, no, I don't see them challenging for the title by any means.
What about the top four? Only 6 points to City. That's only two wins. It's not that far, is it?
It's not far, and I mentioned, I think last week I said City were probably still just about favourites. That obviously changed this weekend with Leicester beating City, but as I say, with company, when within back for Man City, they look like a completely different outfit, and that spine of the team is so strong. And Aguero, as you mentioned, starting to hit form now, and he is the best striker in the league. He's one of the best strikers in world football. So with him in the team, they've always got the danger to win games in any sort of way, really. He scores every type of goals. He can score from inside the box, curling him into the bottom corner. He's on a one-on-one, you're going to put your house on him. He scores headers as well. So he is the X factor, really, for Man City, the chance of keeping them in the title race. As far as Arsenal are concerned, I think that win over Bournemouth last weekend was huge for them. They didn't particularly play that well in that game. Bournemouth were more than a match for them, but it was just two first half minutes where they scored their two goals. That was a huge victory for them to return to winning ways. Still behind Tottenham, obviously in the table on goal difference now. And their biggest worry probably at the moment is not them not winning the title, but Tottenham going on to win the title. Because for Spurs to pip them to the title would be pretty much unthinkable for them. I don't think Tottenham have won it since 1961, when obviously Bill Nicholson with that famous double winning side, first team to do it in the 20th century. So it's been a long, long wait for Tottenham, and I think that will probably be Arsenal's biggest worry at the moment, is Tottenham going on to win the title rather than missing out on the title themselves. They probably wouldn't mind too much, certainly in comparison, if Leicester or Man City went on to win the title.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to size up which the sort of order of like favourites in my head, and I think I've got Arsenal down as fourth favourites out of all of them. Just the way they've been playing recently, I think Spurs, like you say, I mean, they weren't great against Watford last weekend, but they came through in the end, 1-0 there. I think I'd have Spurs and City above Arsenal in the sort of likelihood to win the title. I'm just not convinced by Arsenal recently. They seem to have lost the best football they were playing in the first half of the season. And like I said, they were okay against Bournemouth, but I mean, Bournemouth weren't at them. It was kind of a bit similar to the game they had at the Emirates, those two, where Bournemouth, you know, matched them for large parts of the game, but couldn't quite have that killer touch. And Arsenal, in the end, you know, just had enough to beat them. But just recent weeks with Arsenal, I haven't seen enough from them. They're probably going to go out of the Champions League, which will probably help, because they've got that really tough tie in the last 16. But I'm just not convinced by Arsenal recently. I think I'd have all three of the others above Arsenal in the race for the title.
Yeah, and they've got a tough run of fixtures coming up as well. Obviously Leicester this week, and then United at Old Trafford, and then Swansea, but then Tottenham and the massive, massive North London derby. Arguably the biggest North London derby in the Premier League era, certainly in the last 2 decades or so. You know, it's a tough run of fixtures for them if they can come through that. The thing is with Arsenal, they can always go on this little run where they win loads of games and then look unbeatable at times. They're prone to going on good winning runs, and that will get them right back in the mix. It's worth remembering they're only 5 points off the top of the table, so even after that recent 4-game winless streak, you know, they're still right in it, and 5 points is nothing when they do go on a run like that. The question is, have they got the mental fortitude to do it, which has been the big question over recent seasons. The recent 4-game winless streak suggested that they might be on course for another collapse, but as I mentioned, I think to get back to winning ways against Bournemouth in a match where they didn't particularly play well, but just to get the win was huge for them. It's this weekend again is another huge one for them. It's a huge one for the top four. All of the top four are playing each other, so it's a massive, massive weekend in the title race. But if they can get a win over Leicester this weekend, then
that's like two points, isn't it? It's not much at all.
Yeah, exactly.
If they lose that game, I was just going to say that, you know, it's such a big game, isn't it? You know, either 2 points they win, but if they lose, that's then 8 points to Leicester, and that's surely that they're never, especially when you said about the fixtures Leicester have got coming up, they're never going to claw back 8 points. It's an absolute, even a draw probably wouldn't be enough, like keep it at 5 points. But if they can win that and get it back to two, and then obviously the City Spurs game that same day as well is, like you said, equally as big, and they'd probably want a draw in that one, wouldn't they? And I mean, if it came out on top like that, and if they beat Leicester and then the other two drew, you'd probably say they're right back in it again. But it's such a big day for them, and you'd have to say that for Wenger especially, you know, especially how, you know, the recent years they haven't won the league. It's, what is it now, 12 years since they won the league, and obviously had a couple of FA Cups, but it just seems like that is going to be such a big day for him.
Well, yeah, it's going to be pivotal, isn't it? You mentioned right now they're probably your fourth favourites, and you know, I'm inclined to agree with that. But then if they were to win at the weekend and then maybe Tottenham and Man City draw, then they'll probably go right back up to second, maybe even first favourites in many books. So it is an absolutely pivotal weekend for the whole of the top four, and it's shaping up to be such a good title race. And obviously the inclusion of Leicester and Tottenham, which are two new names in the title race, we're not used to seeing them, just makes it all the more exciting. I think all the neutrals are supporting Leicester mainly, and then Tottenham. They don't want to see another one of the Man City or Arsenal. I know Arsenal haven't won it in a while, but they don't want to see the same name on the trophy if they can help it. So it's one of the most exciting title races in recent years, just because a new name could be on the trophy. Obviously, there's been the recent ones with Man City winning it in the last second. I don't think you're going to top that for pure excitement on the final day. But in terms of the wide variety of teams who can win the title this season, this is one of the best ever.
Yeah, and if you had to make predictions for those two games this weekend, which teams would win, or if it's going to be a draw for those two games, what would you say?
Oh, well, see, I would have backed Man City to beat Leicester last weekend, but they just continue to surprise me. I think if Leicester can get another early goal against Arsenal, it's going to be another match that really suits Leicester. Arsenal like to play open football, and obviously Leicester love that on the counter-attack as well. Arsenal like the possession, Leicester like the other team having possession, so they can hit on the counter-attack. So I think Leicester are really well suited to Arsenal. Obviously Arsenal, one of only two teams to beat Leicester this season. They won 5-2 when they met at the King Power Stadium, so Arsenal do have previous over Leicester this season. That one's going to be a really interesting one. I think I'm still going to back Arsenal, but if Leicester can get an early goal, I can easily see them winning it. Even if they don't get an early goal, I can easily see them winning it just on the counter-attack. Such a tough one to call that. And the Man City-Tottenham one, Tottenham in really good form themselves, 4 consecutive league victories now, and obviously Man City reeling a bit from that Leicester win, but it's just Man City at home. I can never really back against them. So I'd probably go for Man City winning that one. And if it's two home wins, then you know, the landscape of the title race has completely changed and they're probably the two favourites again.
Yeah, I think I'd pick a draw in City-Spurs. I think Spurs would probably go there happy to get a draw there and then know they can probably get more points elsewhere. And I'm going to side with Arsenal as well. I think they were the only team this season who's really, you know, that 5-2 win they had, they were really impressive that day. And Sanchez, you know, he played so well against Leicester that day. And I think Arsenal, like you say, it's going to be awful when Leicester go and win inevitably and everyone's going to say, oh, why are we back in Arsenal? But I just think that game, because it's such a big game for Arsenal, and I don't know, it's a really hard one to call, but we're talking about all these teams doing quite well. One team who's not had a good week, Barnes, is your team, Liverpool. Bit of a shocking week. Can see, obviously, threw away that 2-goal lead to Sunderland and then go out of the FA Cup in the 120th minute to West Ham. How are you feeling?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know I'm pretty loath to say anything negative about Liverpool, but yeah, it hasn't been the best week for them. Obviously, they lost to Leicester before that on the Tuesday, so in the space of 7 days, they've lost to Leicester, being knocked out of the FA Cup in arguably the most heartbreaking way of them all. Seemed destined for penalties, but then pretty cheap free kick to give away, and then 120th minute in stoppage time of extra time, Ogbonna comes and rises and heads that in. Just another, to be honest, that performance wasn't too bad from Liverpool. Again, they had the chances, same as in the first leg, in the initial tie against West Ham, they had the chances to win the game, just couldn't put them away. And I think Benteke deserves most of the blame for that. He squandered so many good chances, especially in extra time. He had three in extra time alone, could have easily had a hat-trick in that additional 30 minutes, and just, he never looked confident with it, really. And it's hard to determine why, because you can say maybe in his Aston Villa days, Aston Villa, he was a pretty much one-man team. Aston Villa played towards him. They played to his style, and Liverpool don't do that as much. But his goal-scoring record at Aston Villa was still very impressive, especially for a team who were usually down towards the bottom of the table. And that chance, especially the one-on-one against West Ham in the FA Cup in extra time, when he just put it straight at Randolph, it never really looked like he was going to score. You know, that's nothing to do with the style the team plays. That's just finishing. I think his confidence he's lacking at the moment. Now, the positives from the Liverpool perspective from that West Ham performance were the fact that the youngsters played well. I think you couldn't really tell much difference between the youngsters and the senior team, which is probably a more damning indictment on the senior team than it is praise of the youngsters at the moment. But and the return of Sturridge, I think, was the big one, because he came on, he played really well. It just looked completely different when Sturridge came on. Such more of a threat going forward. He just brought a bit of class and guile in the final third, which you don't really have otherwise. And obviously Coutinho came back as well from injury. He scored. So things are looking up on the injury front, but that's about the only front they're looking up on at the moment, because you mentioned that Sunderland one. That was inexcusable how they let that slip. Obviously, there's the big fan walkout, which didn't help things at all. Completely understandable from the fans' point of view why any Premier League team would put up ticket prices next season when they're getting so much money from the TV deal is beyond me. I think it's making a mockery of the fans, really, and they're well within their rights to stand up and make a protest. And it seems to have made a difference by all accounts. The owners are thinking of sitting down and having talks about maybe making some adjustments to that. So that'll be interesting to see. But on the field, just against the Sunderland team in such poor form and so far down in the table, it's inexcusable to let a 2-goal lead slip, whatever's happening in the stands. I mean, obviously, it started with another Mignolet error. He's made too many of them.
Didn't look that good last night either, did he?
No, he's made too many of them this season. And the amount of times in games he just rushes off his line and just doesn't get anywhere near the ball. He always gives the opposition a chance. He's not convincing. And then the Defoe goal. Great finish from Defoe, you have to say, but should have been defended better as well. So, yeah. And obviously Klopp not on the touchline for that as well. He's been going through surgery to get his appendix removed as well. So as you say, yeah, pretty dreadful week for Liverpool, it must be said.
Yeah, okay. Rant over. but I was just going to go back to Sturridge quickly. He did look quite good when he came on, but just frustrated me sometimes. You need a bit more of a greedy player sometimes, but I thought in a lot of occasions there, like, I remember there was one time he took on two players and then he had a man out to the left, or he could have put it into the middle, and then he tried to nutmeg a third. And That was one thing that frustrated me about watching him last night. He can do some things really well, but then he tries, I think, too many step overs sometimes. And I think the thing with him is if he now plays, say if he stays fit, which obviously is unlikely given his record, but if he does stay fit for the next 2-3 months and, you know, plays quite well, then he's obviously going to be in contention for England. That's going to be another interesting thing, because when you've got Vardy and Kane playing so well, Rooney the captain, and even he started playing a bit better recently, like, it's going to be hard for Sturridge to even get a look in at Euro 2016.
Yeah, it is, and he's going to need to prove himself before that, because, as you say, he's going to be pretty far down in the pecking order at the moment, and rightly so, because he hasn't played in so long. I do think he played well when he came on against West Ham. I know the incident you're talking about when he tried to take on a third player, and I think that would... I wasn't too upset to see that, because it showed a bit of confidence that, you know, when he first came on, there were a few wayward touches, and he thought maybe, you know, he's a bit rusty, but then he got on the ball, started making a bit of a difference, started beating players, which is something Liverpool haven't had for a while now. Benteke certainly doesn't give them that. Liverpool haven't had a striker with that sort of guile and skill in the final third, which is why we've had to play Firmino, who often drops deep and into the false nine role. So, you know, if he can build up the sort of form which he showed a couple of seasons ago when he was so good against alongside Luis Suarez, if he can build up that sort of form, then he's going to be right in the mix. I put him right up there with Kane and Vardy on this season's form, judging by his form a couple of seasons ago. If he can get back to that level, but he's got a lot of work to do, because at the moment he is probably fourth in the pecking order, if not lower down than that. So he needs the work. First and foremost, he needs to prove his fitness. Then he needs to prove his form. It'd be a surprise if he does both of them. It would be a surprise if he didn't get taken to Euro 2016. But as I say, yeah, he's got a lot to prove.
And a massive game this weekend, isn't it? They go to Villa, obviously bottom of the league. I mean, if they don't win there, then there's even more pressure on the clubs. Then they go into their Europa League doubleheader. You'd expect them to beat Augsburg in the Europa League last 32, especially, you know, as Klopp obviously will know that team from his time in Germany. But big few weeks coming up for the club, you know, struggling at the moment. You look at where they are on the table, they're not going to get top four now. They're too far away from that. So maybe, I mean, either go and win the Capital One Cup, they're obviously in the final against City, and obviously go and do the Europa League maybe. But it's a massive month coming up.
It is a massive month, and, you know, the Europa League is certainly not guaranteed success. There are teams in there who, if they played Liverpool today, you'd probably say would absolutely batter Liverpool. Napoli, the first one that comes to mind, they're in good form in Serie A. If Liverpool came up against them tomorrow, then I wouldn't really back Liverpool to get anything out of the tie. So that's no easy ask, the Europa League. And as you mentioned, that probably looks like their most likely route into the Champions League at the moment, because they're just down in ninth in the Premier League. That's not good enough. It hasn't been good enough under Klopp so far, to be honest. He's brought no consistency to matters. He's averaged fewer points per game in the Premier League than Brendan Rodgers did in his first 8 games in the Premier League this season. So there hasn't really been an improvement under Klopp so far. Obviously, he deserves time. He needs time. And during the summer, he'll get a full pre-season under his belt, maybe bring in a few new players, which I'm quite surprised he didn't do in January. But it'll be interesting to see what he does in the summer. But he certainly needs to make a difference. And as you mentioned, this weekend against Aston Villa, it's a huge game. If you don't win that one, then the pressure really is going to pile on them. They should have beaten Sunderland. If they don't manage to beat either of the bottom two, then that just makes a terrible week even worse. And, you know, Villa will be coming in set on the back of a win as well, so it's not the most straightforward tie, not as straightforward as it might have been perhaps a few weeks ago. So it's certainly a potential banana skin for Liverpool, that one.
Yeah, and you think back, even before that, they played Norwich, didn't they? Conceded 4 against Norwich in that mad game where they ended up, I mean, they ended up winning 5-4, but wasn't really good enough. And we're talking about sort of Arsenal and Spurs having their battle, but you look at the table now, Everton, they've had a couple of 3-0 wins on the bounce. They're now above Liverpool on goal difference. And you just look at that goal difference, Everton plus 12, Liverpool minus 4. Like, Liverpool, I mean, that's simply not good enough, is it? Minus 4 for a team like Liverpool, their goal difference, terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. The only one in the top half with a minus goal difference. And, you know, we've talked a lot this season about Everton's defence and how it's pretty poor, and the only thing that was stopping them perhaps pushing for even a Champions League place was their defence. Liverpool got an even worse defence than Everton at the moment this season. They got the worst defence in the Premier League outside the bottom six, and, you know, even Swansea in the bottom six have got a better defensive record than them. So that's an area which has perhaps gone a bit under the radar for Liverpool. There have been criticisms, obviously, of the defensive side of Liverpool, and obviously injuries have not helped. They've lost Skrtel to injury, Lovren to injury, Sacco to injury at various points of the season. But, you know, Everton's defence has been heavily criticised all season. Liverpool's not so heavily, but they've got a worse defensive record without the attacking form to back them up. Only 32 goals scored this season, which is the worst in the top nine. using another team as an example, Man United, there's been big criticism of their attacking form this season. They've scored the same amount of goals as Liverpool. So at both ends of the field, there really does need to be a big improvement for Liverpool.
Yeah, there absolutely does. I mean, obviously Klopp has done some things pretty well since coming in. I mean, they are quite exciting to watch when they play, you know, they're pressing, when they're really pressing, you know, and pushing tight on teams. But he hasn't quite, I mean, you'd assume that Klopp will probably work out. And I was just, I mean, moving it on a bit to sort of managers in the Premier League. And you've got the likes of Klopp. Now, we know Guardiola's now coming. You probably assume that Jose Mourinho is going to go to United. The story just keeps on developing. And I was just thinking, you know, the Premier League hasn't done too well in recent years in the Champions League. But do you think these kind of managers, I mean, Guardiola especially more than most, them sort of coming to the Premier League, you've got Guardiola, Klopp, Mourinho potentially all being here next season. Is that going to help the Premier League become, you know, what it was in the noughties as one of the, sort of the main league in Europe or the main league represented in the Champions League?
Yeah, well, I think Guardiola certainly will help the matter. Players will want to come and play for him. I think it was Busquets who said during the week that, you know, only two things would make him leave Barcelona, that's his wife and Guardiola. And obviously that got the rumour mill in motion that he might be coming to Man City. And I think certainly he will draw some big, big names to Man City. The other managers, obviously, been in the Premier League before. A lot of players will want to work under Mourinho. Obviously, he's got a fantastic reputation in management, and that hasn't really been harmed too much by the latest stint with Chelsea. Players will still want to come into him. So in terms of the managers players will want to play under most, I think the Premier League has got the biggest one and the best ones, and it's still the most exciting, the biggest, probably not the best, but league in the world. It is a division that most of the top players want to play in, but it's the fact that the top clubs now have lost some of their allure. Go back to the top four in the Premier League table at the moment, Leicester and Tottenham. You know, if you're a big player from abroad coming to England, those aren't the two clubs that will immediately jump out as the big clubs in England, yet they're top of the league. I think it's a sign more of how the top teams have got worse in recent seasons than how the lower teams have got better, to be honest. Because, you know, you put any top English club at the moment against a Barcelona or Real Madrid or Bayern Munich, it's just a different league to them. Barcelona would absolutely batter any of England's top clubs, and Leicester going into the Champions League next season, it's going to be interesting to see how they fare, to be honest. I wouldn't give them much of a chance against Barcelona either, and they've been the best team in England so far this season. So I think the gap there is still pretty big, and I don't think one manager in Guardiola coming in is going to change that. I think it's going to take a bit more changing. And there's also the fact that, you know, Barcelona and Real Madrid, South American players especially, they are the two clubs that, you know, you'll leave any club for, really. You look at Suarez did that, Ronaldo did that, and obviously Portuguese player going there as well. They're the teams that those sorts of players grow up wanting to play for. And, you know, no matter what manager you're playing for, really, if those clubs come knocking, they tend to get their man. So I don't think Guardiola will change it in that sense, but it certainly will help attract better players to England, I think. And I think I mentioned last week that I think Man City, that will help them become a force in Europe, and I think they're the most likely of the top teams in England at the moment to start challenging in those upper echelons of the Champions League again.
Yeah, and just thinking, it's highly likely that, you know, Chelsea, unless they go and win the Champions League this year, and say United go and win the Europa League, it's highly unlikely that both of those will even be in the Champions League next year. And when you think about who Leicester, I mean, like we said, we expect them to get in unless they, you know, suffer a massive collapse. But if they get in, then obviously the coefficient and how the rankings worked out, they're not going to get a high seed in the group and all that kind of thing. So they're going to struggle in the group, probably Leicester, and might go out, and that's obviously not going to help. But like you said, I think Guardiola, he should. But like you said, I mean, Busquets, I mean, personally as a player to watch, I don't like watching him. I think he whinges too much on that, but you can't deny his, you know, how effective he is at what he does, breaking up the play. And he's obviously a very intelligent player, but if Guardiola can really sign players like Busquets, who are arguably one of the best midfielders in the world, then surely City are going to, they should be a force to be reckoned with next year.
Yeah, I think they will be, both in England and in Europe. I think the thing, another point I would make is that English clubs have spent a lot of money in recent seasons, and it hasn't really helped them in the Champions League. Using United as an example, Van Gaal spent over £250 million. He brought in the likes of Di Maria for so much money, and just hasn't worked out. They're now down in fifth, probably won't even be in the Champions League next season. Didn't reach the knockout phase of the Champions League this season. So it's not really a question of money at the moment. It's just the way Barcelona and Real Madrid are set up. They're just light years ahead of English clubs at the moment, and that's all happened in the last 5 years or so. I think it was 2012 when a last English club got to the Champions League when Chelsea won it against all the odds. So yeah, I think it's going to take a bit of rebuilding to get that sort of. It does go in cycles and stuff, and that spell where England got to the final most years between 2005 and 2012 was the first time really English clubs had been up there since Hazel in a regular role. Obviously United won it in 1999, but aside from that, it does go in cycles like that, and English football might need to wait a bit to get back in among the biggest teams of European football. I do think Guardiola will help it. I don't think him coming in is the one answer English football needs, but of the top teams, as I mentioned, I think Man City are the more likely to push on now, because that's their main goal for the owners now. They've won the Premier League title, they want the Champions League. It's similar in many ways to PSG, come in with a lot of money, and you know the European title is the main goal for them at the moment. And even looking at PSG and Juventus, who got off to a poor start this season in Serie A but are now on an unbelievable winning run, if any of these
15
English
games, I think it is.
Yeah, if any of these English teams come up against them right now, you wouldn't back the English teams as well. So, you know, they're pretty far down the pecking order when it comes to the Europeans' top clubs at the moment.
Yeah, the only thing I'd say, going back to your point about United and, you know, whether they'd lose to, you know, probably get spanked by, you know, Barcelona or Real Madrid, but the point is they should have easily got out of that Champions League group, shouldn't they? You know,
when
that draw was made, we said, well, you know, United have got a pretty easy one there, but they didn't get out of that group, so you can't really. It's not like they've been, you know, humbled by Bayern or Real Madrid in the knockout stage, because when you get to the knockout stage, over two legs, you know, anything can happen. I mean, you're unlikely to beat any of those teams, but for them not to get out of the group, that was the inexcusable part. So, don't really, that's where you talk about the money and maybe not spending it right. But you'd have to say that, I mean, going back to the Martial sign, you know, he has looked really good in recent weeks, I think, and he's still so young, so I think he's 20 now, isn't he? And I think the money they've spent on him, you'd probably say, as it looks at the moment, it might be a pretty good investment.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far just yet. I mean, he's impressed, but that was a lot of money. Obviously, the world's most expensive teenager. That's so much money. And no money in football nowadays is pretty ludicrous as compared to what it was, and it's just accelerated beyond recognition in recent years. But that's still a lot of money to fork out. And if you buy potential, and if they get 10 good, like really good years out of him, then we can look back on it and say it was a pretty good investment. But I think it's far too early to be saying that just yet.
Okay, speaking of money being spent, one team that did that in January was Norwich, who we're going to quickly talk about now, because they lost at Villa last weekend. Real bad result for them. They dropped into the bottom three because Newcastle beat West Brom. And you just look at Norwich's recent record, 5 league defeats in a row, conceded 16 in that time as well. Going down?
It's looking like it. Things aren't looking good for them at the moment. A few weeks ago, I said they were probably them and perhaps Newcastle look the most likely to go down alongside Sunderland and Villa for me. But right now, it's looking like them. Such a poor run of form. Conceded so many goals in the really poor losing streak as well. And when you look at the fixtures coming up, they've got West Ham this weekend. Okay, West Ham pretty inconsistent form at the moment themselves, but you know, you're back West Ham to win that, and then Leicester, and then Chelsea. Chelsea, obviously in the bottom half, but improving. You can't really see them buying a win in those three games, and particularly when you consider that defeat to Aston Villa. You know, Aston Villa, we talked last week about how they, in the transfer window, seemed to be the white flag of surrender. You didn't see them getting any hope of staying in the division. So for Norwich to just slump to a 2-0 loss there, hugely, hugely disappointing result. Gives Villa a tiny glimpse of hope, perhaps, but for Norwich, things need to change pretty quickly because, you know, defensively, only Sunderland have conceded more, and they're in the worst form defensively of any team in the league. Can't seem to pick up a point from anywhere at the moment, and with the likes of Bournemouth, especially, and Newcastle starting to improve, Sunderland picking up a few points, and obviously Villa with the win over Norwich, even they're starting to improve. They need to turn that form around quickly, otherwise they might find themselves cut adrift soon.
Yeah, I think even with Villa, I mean, it's still an 8-point gap, and you'd have to say that it's still such. I mean, it gave them that glimmer of hope, but 8 points is still a massive gap to call back. And then Sunderland, obviously, getting that point at Liverpool, that could, you know, prove invaluable come the end of the season. They're 4 points behind Newcastle, and it's hard to say with Sunderland, isn't it? Because for a long time we've sort of said them and Villa, you know, probably doomed. But then you just keep thinking back to Allardyce and his record, you know, he might be able to claw them back. But then if Sunderland managed to get out, we think probably Newcastle, they're looking all right, and we said they probably did good business. But then who goes down? Are West Brom safe yet? They're 6 points above the bottom three.
No, I don't think they're safe yet, but in the same way Allardyce is a big plus in Sunderland's book, Pulis is a big plus in West Brom's book. I'd never predict Pulis' side to go down. I think he's got enough about him to keep any team really in the division. You saw what he did with Palace a few seasons ago when they looked destined for the drop when he took over, and took him up to 11th, I think they finished. So I think he certainly knows how to get points from games, how to grind out enough points to stay in the division. So while I don't think they're out of danger just yet, I would be surprised if they went down. Then you look further up the table, and it's tough really to see, because Bournemouth have impressed me recently. I think they've only lost 3 games in the last 13 Premier League outings, I think, which is a really good record for a team supposedly battling against relegation. 5 points the gap to the bottom three now. They're not safe, but if they can keep up that sort of form, picking up regular points, then again, I'll be quite surprised to see them go down as well. So it's a tough one to call. Swansea have improved under Francesco Guidolin. You know, Newcastle, as you mentioned, they invested well and they're starting to improve. Shelby's already hit the ground running at Newcastle, a couple of assists already for him. So it's an interesting one. It's going to be, I don't think Sunderland are down just yet. I did say Villa, perhaps a glimmer of hope, but as you mentioned, 8 points is a big gap, and I think they're down already. So it's going to be an interesting one. A lot of the teams down right now, I can't really see getting relegated. It's only the bottom three, I would say, at this stage, I can see getting relegated, because the three above them are improving. They are picking up regular enough points to keep them safe, I think.
Yeah, I was just about to say that when you look at the table, even though there's obviously not that much between those teams, you just look at what they're doing, like you said about Tony Pulis and West Brom, because of all those sides, West Brom are the ones really struggling for wins at the moment, but they've still got a fairly healthy gap to the bottom three. And just when you look at it in the form of Norwich, they need something. I mean, even though Naismith has looked good since coming in, but defensively, he's conceding too many goals, and we probably expect those three to come down. But when you look at the teams, we're going to move on to the Championship and talk about potential teams coming up. Middlesbrough, currently top of the Championship, 57 points. Hull just behind on 56. But Middlesbrough really struggling at the moment. They've 4 games without a win. They lost 1-0 to Bristol City and Nottingham Forest, and they've had 1-1 draws against Blackburn and MK Dons. And both of those they needed late winners. Against MK Dons, Jordan Rhodes got his first goal in the 93rd minute, I think it was. So they are top at the moment, but they're certainly faltering.
Yeah, they are, and they need to turn that around quickly, because it's very close up there and very tight. So do you think the money they spent in the transfer windows, they really need to get up, I think, and it would be such a disappointment if they don't. And with Hull hot on their heels, it's going to be an interesting title race, I think, and automatic promotion race, because Burnley only a point behind Hull as well, only 2 points separate in the top three. So Middlesbrough need to turn that form around, otherwise they could find themselves out of the automatic promotion places, and then, you know, anything can really happen in the playoffs. It'll be such a big disappointment, as I mentioned, for them not to go up, considering the amount of money they spent. And you'd have to say the same applies for Derby as well, who themselves are in even worse dire straits than Middlesbrough at the moment.
Yeah, just sacked Paul Clement, haven't they? It's a bizarre decision, that, because, I mean, I was reading about it, and it seems to be that the Mel Morris, the chairman, it was wholly his decision. He said in the statement that it was because they weren't playing the Derby way, and that, you know, getting promotion wasn't the main issue behind Clement's firing. But, you know, Derby, they have struggled for wins of late. They've been in poor form, but it's just, I just think surely they're doing everything they can to go up, because they have spent more money than even Middlesbrough. The amount of money Derby have spent on wages, transfers, they've been buying up, you know, a lot of the league's best players to sort of stop the competition. You buy players like Blackman from Reading, Butterfield from Huddersfield, you know, those kind of players. You're taking all the other team's best players, basically, and just trying to win the league that way. And they should be able to do it. They've got so much talent there at Derby, but they just can't seem to quite find the right formula. Obviously, under Steve McLaren last year, they dropped down to 8th, just 2 wins in their last 13, I think it was. But as for who's going to go up, I think Hull are looking pretty good. Burnley, they've looked great recently. Andre Gray, they spent a lot of money on him for a striker who, you know, just 2.5 seasons ago, I think, was playing non-league football. But he made the step up really well with Brentford, and he's the top scorer this season. And I'd say at the moment, I mean, Bury, you'd still expect them to do it because they're usually so good defensively, but I think just the Derby squad, I still can't rule them out, even though they've got rid of their manager now and they're in bad form. But I just think their squad is just so strong.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see who they bring in and what he does with the squad, if he can give them a burst, like similar to what perhaps Alex Neil did with Norwich last season, to give them a burst, a late push to get them back up the table, and perhaps pushing for those automatic promotion places. For me, if I'm looking at the most likely to go up right now, it's quite hard to look past the current top three. I would still say Derby's certainly in the mix there if they can get the right man in and he can get an improvement, just because, as you mentioned, their squad are so good and they've spent so much money. But Middlesbrough, I'd be surprised if they don't go up. Hull, I think, have got one of the best squads in the league. They've kept largely a lot of their players since coming down from the Premier League, so they'll fancy their chance of going up as well. And as you say, Burnley have looked good recently as well. So for me, if I had to make a prediction now, it would be the current top three, but Derby not far behind at all.
I think you've got to give Sheffield Wednesday a shout out, because they're a bit of a dark horse. They're doing really well. They're another team that spent a lot of money. They've got their new owner and they spent a lot of money, but some of the players, like Gary Hooper, he's scoring loads of goals at the moment for them, and they've crept into the top six there, because Ipswich and Birmingham aren't doing great at the moment, and even Brighton have had three wins in a row, but it's hard to see them staying on, because I mean, their game against Brentford last week, they won 3-0, but Brentford in the first half an hour, they played really well in that game, and they just couldn't quite score, and then Brighton ended up winning 3-0. I thought it was really harsh on Brentford, but even though Brighton fourth, they're only 53 points, only 3 points behind the top two. It's, I mean, the problem with the Championship, isn't it? It's just so hard to call every year, and every year we think we're going to get a dull season where, you know, two teams, you know, streak ahead of everyone else, but it's been so interesting the last few years, who goes up, who goes down. But it's, well, you'd have to say, yeah, I mean, one of those, I think any of the current top six could do it. But yeah, like you say, I think it's just so hard to call. I think the chat, it's just ridiculous league, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think giving another mention to Brighton, they're a team who, you know, we expected really to fall away towards the start of the season. Obviously went for that incredible unbeaten start to the season, but then went for a spell, I think it was more than a month or nearly a month, or exactly a month it was, without a win, and then they've responded with three wins again. So, you know, they're probably the epitome of the unpredictable nature of the Championship at the moment, because we didn't really expect them to be up there challenging so hard for the automatic promotion places. Of the current top six, I'd probably say they were my least favourites to actually get promotion. So be interesting to see how long they can keep this up, because they've surprised a lot of people so far this season, and they keep managing to pick up points. They've lost the fewest games in the league, so they're certainly doing something right, and they'll fancy their chances of sticking around to the end of the season for sure.
Okay, quickly before we finish, let's just have your three teams to go down and three to come up at this point.
My three to go down, I think it's got to be Aston Villa for one of them. Sunderland, again, I don't like backing against Allardyce when it comes to relegation battle, but I'm going to have to say them. And then Norwich as well, just for the poor form they're in. And for the Championship, I think it's going to be Middlesbrough, Hull, and I'm going to go for Derby just ahead of Burnley, I think. Derby via the playoffs, I think. Middlesbrough and Hull automatic, and Derby via the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with the Premier League three. I think anyone arguing against that, you know, it's hard to, you know, those three really look like they are going down at the moment. But as to the Championship, I think Burnley are going to go up. I think Hull, Burnley and Derby will be the three. I don't like what I've seen of Middlesbrough recently, so I think it might be those three to go up. So it's well, I'm sure neither of us will be right. It's always so hard to call, but thanks for this week, Barnes. I think that's all we've got time for. Be sure to head to sportsmobile.co.uk this weekend for those big games on Sunday, the top four games between Arsenal and Leicester and Spurs and Man City. Should be cracking games. We'll be back on Monday next week for a special look ahead to the knockout stages of the Champions League and Europa League. So we'll see you then.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.